KKZZ, Santa Paula, Ventura, Oxnard.
Yolanda's Mexican Cafe has been serving Ventura County the finest in Mexican food and drink for 25 years. Visit one of their four family-friendly locations in Oxnard at 1601 South Victoria Avenue, Ventura at 2753 East Main Street, Camarillo at 86 Daly Drive, and in Simi Valley at 590 East Los Angeles Avenue. They've been voted the best margaritas, best happy hour, best Mexican food, and best salsa bar in Ventura County in a survey by the Ventura Star newspaper and the Reporter News magazine over the last 10 years. Each one of their restaurants has its own personality with beautiful decor and also beautiful artwork. Yolanda's friendly staff is always available to assist in providing an enjoyable experience when you dine with them. Yolanda's has been serving their customers the finest Mexican food since February 1982. Please visit their website at yolandasmexicancafe.com to see the many menu choices. Come share in the experience of Yolanda's Mexican Cafe, the best Mexican restaurant in Ventura County, Yolanda's.
Everyone's running to Bunnin.
Hey, Ventura County, who do you think of first when you want to buy a pre-owned car or truck? Think Bunnin, of course. We've been an industry leader in used car sales since we first arrived here 15 years ago. We specialize in hard-to-find makes and models, and our volume selling keeps our pricing low, with hundreds of vehicles ready to go right now. So buying used? Buy Bunnin. Check us out at Bunnin.com or come for a test drive today at a Bunnin location near you. Bunnin Auto Outlet in the Ventura Auto Center, Bunnin Buick GMC and Bunnin Cadillac in the Oxnard Auto Center, and our newest Bunnin location, Bunnin Chevrolet in Culver City. Make your first stop your only stop for quality used cars with huge discounts you've come to expect from Bunnin. Just remember our famous jingle.
Everyone's running to Bunnin.
I do a little bit of everything. I do some singing, some dancing.
I'm a patriot. I love this country.
Oh, no!
We're talking about the fun he's having on his show.
You enjoy it. You get a kick out of it.
What's the secret? How does he do it?
Helen, are you ready?
Thank you. Go Dodgers. Go Ducks.
Hey.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody. Welcome.
Every day, Coach Ron Tunick talks about the internet, careers, wine, food, and style, real estate, construction, and financial stuff. It's time for Driving Home with a Coach in the Business of Life on AM 1400 KKZZ. Now, here's the coach, Ron Tunick.
Welcome to this gorgeous, beautiful spring day here in sunny Southern California. Roger Bland, the coach on the show. We call the business the life. Big shout out to you, Steve, if you're listening. And Roger, you and I have done a lot of shows together, but rarely over the years I've been on radio have I ever done an hour commercial free. I just feel today, ladies and gentlemen, it's my gift to you. It's my April gift to you. My two guests in the first hour are so powerful, so impactful, so intelligent, so interesting. What else can I say, Roger?
I don't know, but you had a great warm-up yesterday. I was tuning into you and Margaret and your first guest. I didn't think she was going to shut up for a breath.
Yeah.
She had a compelling story, but my goodness, she went from 4:05 to 4:30. I think you said three words, Coach.
Her story, yeah, Jackie Carpenter's story about her son who murdered somebody and wrote a book called The Georgia Justice.
Yeah.
On the show today, we call The Business Life. The website is AM1400. Coach, thanks for all your Facebook comments. I get them every night, every day. Your Twitter comments. Here is what the 2 hours looks like ahead.
All right.
Roger, he may be considered America's finest pharmacist, maybe America's number one pharmacist. He's written many, many books. He's respected. I can go on and on about his resume. His name is Dr. James Joseph Rybacki, and his current book, and I just loved it. I literally read it from cover to cover. It was easy to read. I'm on meds. I take meds for all kinds of things. The Essential Guide to Prescription Drugs is the title of the book, The Essential Guide to Prescription Drugs, 12 Top Meds for 2012. We're going to get into this.
Are we over-medicated, Coach, as a society?
I think we are, but let's ask the pharmacist.
We'll ask the pharmacist.
A great question to start the show with. Then at 4:30, one of the owners of the Orlando Magic.
I can't believe that.
Well, I went on, checked his website, and watched his videos all afternoon. He's a tremendous motivational speaker. I mean, really, had the hair standing up. And he'll be on talking about leadership. Then at 5 o'clock, what's bugging you, Roger? We do this every week.
Yes.
On Tuesdays. Things, you have 10 pages, maybe 20 pages of things that are bothering you. I've got a lot of things that are bothering me today, so I might chime in.
I will need your help on this, but I've got a list myself.
And then I don't know if this guy's going to show up. I try to get a hold of him today. He's considered the vitamin professor, Doug something or other.
Yeah, good.
That's his last name, something or other.
Something or other. That's Sweden,
right,
isn't
let's
it?
Get right to it. His name, commercial-free today. Our sponsors would not mind. Troop, Roar.pro. Bunnen Automotive, Yolanda's Nations Transaction Service. I go on and on. They would not mind doing a show commercial-free. We do it on KKZZ and KVTA. All right, here we go. His name, Dr. James Rybecki. His book, The Essential Guide to Prescription Drugs. Let's open up the show with your question, Roger.
Okay.
What is it?
I was going to ask the doctor, or the pharmacist, if we are over-medicated as a society.
Doc?
Well, you got Dr. Bulock here, and I'm not a pharmacist. I'm an educator, and my book is How to Create a High-Performing School.
Well, wait a second. It's James Rybecki. We're supposed to be having on today. Tom, are you there?
I'm right over here, and that's the call that we got. That's the number I had.
No. If you look in your text there, I text you the two phone numbers.
Hmm.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Live radio, ladies and
gentlemen.
He
called in with a 4 o'clock interview.
Yeah, I text you the phone numbers. You got them in your text, both phone numbers.
Well, this is going to be interesting, too, because the doctor is, I'm sorry, higher education, was it?
Well, I love higher education.
Yeah.
I love it. So we'll move the pharmacist till 5 o'clock, and we'll honor this doctor. And I am apologetic. I didn't have you on my calendar, doctor. What's your name?
Cleet Bulock, Dr. Cleet Bulock.
And,
B-U-L-A-C-H.
Okay, and you're scheduled for Tuesday, huh?
Yeah, I've got Tuesday here, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Atta boy. And you're...
You were talking about leadership, and I can go on that for quite a while.
Well, let's talk about you. Tell me a little bit about yourself, will you please?
Okay, I'm a retired school superintendent, principal, teacher, college professor, researcher, 73 years old, second edition of my book on how to create a high-performing classroom is out, and there are four things we have to do to improve schools, one of which is leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start with that one?
Well, we definitely can talk about leadership. The owner of the Orlando Magic is going to be following you, so we can definitely talk about leadership. But the fact that you were a school board, what was your title?
A school superintendent.
Wow. And where in the United States?
Yeah, in Ohio.
Okay.
I retired in Ohio in 1990 after 30 years.
Right. So let me say this to you, that... my son's a school teacher. My mother was a school teacher. Probably one of my big angsts is that our kids are not getting educated. The curriculum hasn't changed on how we educate the kids probably since the 20s or 30s. Leadership was taught when I was going to school, but I don't see leadership taught in the classroom anywhere. So let's get right to it. Leadership is critical. It's needed. It's missing. How do we get it back?
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear you've got some educators. They'll need to get a copy of my book. The major focus of my book is, one is leadership, and the second one is discipline. Mm-hmm. If you have folks who are teachers, how would they like to reduce the amount of time they spend correcting kids by 75%? That is the major focus of the book, and it deals with student behavior, but we'll start with leadership. One phase, chapter 2 and 3 in my book, deal with leadership, and the concept is servant leadership. Ever hear of servant leadership?
I have not.
Okay. It's been around for quite some time. A lot of leaders come across as self-serving. you look at them and you say, I wonder what they want. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, keep going. Yeah, keep going.
Now, let's suppose you meet two people. Both are leaders, maybe coaches. Okay. One of them comes across as self-serving, and the other comes across as he is there to serve your needs. Which person are you going to work hardest for?
Well, that's I don't know. What would you say,
Roger? I would say the one that serves my needs,
yeah,
of course.
I would,
absolutely.
Yeah,
sure. Now, that's one of the crazy things. If you were to ask a principal, are you here to serve the needs of the kids and the teachers? And they say, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Then you go to the teachers and the kids and you ask them, is your principal here to serve your needs, or do you think he's looking out for himself? And there are many times when a person who thinks they're there to serve the needs of others comes across as self-serving.
Well, amen, brother. Yeah. You are absolutely describing exactly to a T what is going on in this country today. You're describing the politicians in Washington,
yep,
corporate leaders,
yep,
really corporate non-leaders.
Okay, well, this started back in the 1960s, okay, in our school systems. We have turned out graduates who graduate from high school with a what's in it for me mentality.
Yeah.
And they basically are self-serving. They are not there to serve the needs of our society. The school that I'm talking about is called a citizenship school, where we graduate kids who have had 12 or more years of practice serving the needs of others, where teachers serve the needs of others, where principals serve the needs of the faculty and the students. And now, how do you do that? You say, you go to these people and they say, no, I'm here to serve their needs, but they don't come across that way. Well, if you don't come across that way, the people under you aren't going to be motivated. So how do you come across as a servant leader, as opposed to self-serving? I've got a number of techniques. I'll share two of them with you. Let's say, and you can do this tomorrow, Coach, Ron, you have people who report to you, don't you?
Yep.
Okay.
My grandchildren, and that's it.
Okay. Well, if you're a principal of a high school or a middle school or whatever, you go to the faculty and you hand them 3x5 cards. You can hand them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever you want, and you say, on each card, write down one thing you expect me to do as your principal, in your case, as the radio host, or whatever your position is. Write one thing on each card that you expect of me. I call this the expectations diagnosis, okay? You find out what the people who are under you expect you to do as the leader. Now, your guy coming on from the Miami, whatchamacallit?
Orlando Magic coming up here in a couple of minutes.
Ask him to do this with his players. What do they expect of him as their coach? Write one thing on each card.
No, it's okay. It's interesting that you say this, Doc. Give me your name again, please.
Dr. Cleet Bulock.
Say your first name.
C-L-E-T-E, Cleet.
Like it.
The last name's Bulach, B-U-L-A-C-H.
B-U-L-A-C-H. So
now, what this does for you as the leader, it says, hey, guys, I am listening to you. I care about you. I want to know what you think. I'm your leader, but I want to know what you expect of me. So it's openness and trust as the leader, okay? And it comes across as I'm here to serve your needs. And that changes the whole tone of the relationship between the leader and those that follow. Does that make any sense to you?
It does. It really does, because one of the things that Pat Williams, who is the owner of the Orlando Magic, talks about is exactly what you're saying. He uses a different word, but the same conclusion. He talks about vision.
Yeah.
And this is part of the challenge that we have as parents, as grandparents, as coaches, as mentors. Roger, you know this. You, as a high school football announcer, you're around these kids all the time. Where's the vision coming from, Doctor and Roger? Where's the vision for the future? Who is sharing that vision? Who is leading that vision?
Well, you know, I agree with everything the doctor said here. And he mentioned or alluded to before that the other part of it is discipline. This is all wonderful, but if there's no discipline in the classroom, you never get to that level. Right or wrong, doctor?
You're absolutely correct. Do you know how many days a year are lost because teachers have to stop teaching to correct kids?
I can only imagine, but it's got to be a huge number.
I'm talking 50 to 30 days.
Can you imagine?
And a teacher who is not up to snuff, you're talking basically half the school year lost.
Right.
Now, before we get to that, I'm going to share one more technique for a leader to come across as a servant leader. Because if you come across as there to serve the needs of the people you are leading, you are going to be in a much stronger leadership position than you would be if you come across as self-serving. Because if you come across as self-serving, they aren't going to trust you. Mm-hmm. They're going to watch their back. They aren't going to go full out for you.
Right.
Okay. So this technique called expectations diagnosis helps you get the vision of what it is you're supposed to do as the leader. And the vision is shaped by the people you're leading. It's part of it. Okay. The second thing you need to do is you need to find out how you're coming across. So 2 months into your leadership of anything, or in your case, Ron, Coach Ron, you can do this tomorrow with everybody down there. You say, Coach Ron is a good host for radio.
The show we call The Business of Life, Doc.
Okay, he is a good host for The Business of Life because, right? Complete that sentence as many times as you want.
Because I care about helping people, inspiring people, just like Roger Bland. You listen to Roger Bland, the coach, and Dr. Cleat. I never heard of the word cleat. I like that.
Well, you know, they complete that sentence as many times as they want.
Yeah.
Okay? Then the second sentence is...
Do you know why they need to complete that sentence? Because the repetition of great ideas heard every day literally can change your life. Right or wrong on that?
Absolutely.
There you go.
But, you know, you don't know how you're coming across. You think you know. But when you get the feedback from the people who listen to you, they're going to say, well, yeah, he does a good job because, and then they complete that sentence. Now, the second sentence is, he would do a better job if.
Mm.
And now, that's not negative. That's asking for feedback.
Right.
Now, I understand the first thing. Maybe my diet soda pop here has got me. But what do you mean by the second thing? Say that differently to our audience.
Okay. You got two sentences. We call it force field analysis. It goes back to the 50s, a guy named Kurt Lewin. Force field analysis. You want to know what forces you got going that are making you the best DJ possible and what forces are keeping you from being a better one. So the first sentence, he's doing a good job because gets you the forces for. The second one would do a better job if.
Yeah.
Gets at the things you could do better.
We all like to hear that first sentence, Doctor, but it's the second sentence, the constructive criticism, that sometimes is hard to take.
Yeah, but you're not asking for constructive criticism. You're saying he would do a better job if. It's not really a negative.
Right.
It's not really a negative. It's not like saying, these are the things he does wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a negative.
Well, talking to Dr. Cleat here, and pronounce your last name?
Bulock, like you lock the door.
You lock the door, but you call it Bulock.
Yeah, put a B in front of it.
Yeah, you lock the door, but it's Bulock. I like that. Roger Bland, the coach on AM 1400 Coach. That's the website. We're a tune-in radio station. Just check out your Droid or iPhone. And ladies and gentlemen, it's one of the best apps, isn't it, Roger?
I love mine.
It's a great app. You can listen to your favorite show. Maybe our show is one of your favorite shows. Go to TuneIn Radio on your app on the show we call The Business of Life. Coming up here in a couple of minutes is the tremendous follow-up here on Dr. Cleat talking about leadership. He should know for 44 years he was in the NBA. Then coming up at 5 o'clock, we're going to have America's number one pharmacist talking about his new book, The Essential Guide to Prescription Drugs, 12 Top Meds for 2012. So, Dr. Cleat, I can't let you off. I've got a couple of minutes here. Let's go back to education for a second. You were a school superintendent.
Yeah.
So you would have been the one I'd have been yelling at and trying to get fired because I blame the school superintendents for the lack of, well, for failing us in our country that it's taken so long for us to figure out these magnet schools, these charter schools. Here in Ventura County, Santa Barbara County and L.A., we've got some new inventions going on. Roger, I can't think of all the types of schools, but in down the street from the station, mm-hmm. we have a school for technology. Does Tommy yeah. know the name of that school?
Foothill Technology.
Yeah. So finally, Doc, finally, after all these years, we're figuring out that not every kid fits into a round hole, that some kids are never going to go to college. Some kids want to get into technology early. What's your take on all this?
Well, most of the kids that go to school, 50% of them are unmotivated. They go to school because they have to.
Right.
It's the law. And now, in my book, I discuss the five basic needs of all human beings. There are five, and one of those is purpose. Kids who go to school without a purpose are unmotivated. Now, if you recall your days in school, how many kids went to school knowing what they wanted?
Zero.
It just doesn't happen that much,
yeah,
you know?
Zero.
And then they become discipline problems.
I'm getting
and
a,
the biggest
a,
thing
I'm getting
you've got
a,
to do
a,
is...
I got a text from a listener in Santa Paula. Thank you, Miguel. Homeschooling. He homeschools his kids. He wants to know what you think of homeschooling.
Homeschool students tend to be more motivated than a non-home school because the parents care.
Yeah.
And how many kids go to school believing the teachers don't care?
Half.
Too many.
Too many.
Yeah.
How many kids go to school believing the other kids don't care?
Too
same,
many.
Same, yeah.
Yeah, what's it like to go to school believing that people don't care? Right. And in home school, those kids know their parents care.
So a voucher system, wouldn't that honestly... Don't you think a voucher system, would a voucher system work?
Well, the voucher system works because the parents who take the vouchers want something better for their kids. So they take the vouchers to get them in another school. Again, it shows that they care. And caring is one of the five basic needs that all humans have. Purpose, having a purpose, is a need that everybody has to have. A third basic need is control. Do kids go to school have any control over what happens to them?
No. Good point. You're turning out to be a pretty darn good radio guest. Can you come back?
Sure.
Yeah. I can
go on for 2 hours on this topic.
Well, you know, we don't get many superintendents to come on the radio, so the fact that you're letting me kind of not beat you up, but if I get to know you better, I'll beat you up. But you've got a lot of positive things to say,
yeah.
and it needs to be heard. And you and I have lived a pretty good life together, so you're sharing wisdom, which is what we all need to hear. And if we could
think common sense,
that's where
I come from. I'm an old farm boy from Indiana, and if it ain't common sense, it's no good.
Well, but Dr. Bulock, when did we lose the citizenship school mentality, or did we ever have it?
Back in the late 50s and early 60s when the focus was on the individual.
Yeah.
What is your website, please?
westga.edu/dildo up in the left-hand corner, dildo or whatever that thing is up there, and C. Bulock. BULACH. C as in cat. BULACH.
Well,
my book is on Amazon.com and Barnes and Noble.
Well, we got to get you a simpler website. Email me. I'll give my email. Coach at. You got a pen?
Yeah.
Email me so I can contact you tomorrow. Coach at ntspays.com. Coach at nt. N as in Nancy. T as in Tom. S as in Sam. Pays. P-A-Y-S. Coach. At ntspays.com. Email me so I can get you back on.
Coach at
ntspays, P-A-Y-S.
Say that again.
Coach.
See, yeah, I got that. At
N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, S as in Sam, P as in Paul, A as in Apple, Y as in Yellowstone, S as in Sam, coach@ntspays.com. Coach at NTS. Anybody can email me at coach@ntspays.com.
I got you.
And I will reply, as I got several listeners today contacting me. Big, also, another shout-out to you, Matt. Another shout-out to you, Kevin. Another shout-out to you, Jessica.
Did you ever get paddled in school, Coach?
I got hit so hard, and let me say this, Roger. I got hit so hard it changed my life in this respect, that my baseball coach, Hal Lambert, who I loved like a father, and Ray O'Connor, my baseball coach, they knew I was fatherless. They knew I was a foster kid. And the only way they could get my attention was to swat me. And it got my attention to the point where, you know, I learned how to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to get hit anymore. And I realized today, God forbid, you can't.
No, you can't touch him.
I was talking about just the other night, you can't hit anybody.
Yeah.
I can't even put a hand on you as a student. My son is a school teacher. I've asked him about this. I said, John, do you ever put a hand on somebody's shoulder? He said, Dad, if I did that, I'd be in jail. You'd have to be bailing me out.
Yeah.
Listen to Roger Bland and the coach coming up here in a minute. As soon as he's on, Tom will let me know. His name is Pat Williams, and he's one of the owners of the NBA franchise called the Orlando Magic. And I watched all his videos today. I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he got me excited about interviewing him. We're also going to have back our first guest, Dr. Cleet. How do you pronounce his name, Roger?
Bulock.
Yeah.
Dr. Bulock.
He was a good guest, too.
I loved it.
Yeah, he was a good guest. You know what I liked about him was being an ex-superintendent, he stood his ground because I wanted to go after him. I would get rid of every administrator in every school district in the country, and here's what I would do. The same thing I would do in Congress. I would go find waitresses at Denny's and put them in charge of the school district. And I mean it. I couldn't be more serious about that.
Why waitresses?
Because they can fix problems and clean up messes.
Gets back to what the doctor was talking about with citizenship schooling, huh?
Yeah.
Make it.
Most kids aren't going to college, and I agree with what Dr. Cleet said, and that is kids are not motivated. So they're not motivated because they don't understand a purpose in life.
Exactly.
They're not motivated because their parents are too darn busy on their iPhones or doing their own stuff. Look, if you're going to have kids, you decide to have kids. I didn't decide to have your kids. You did decide to have your kids. You need to stay home and raise kids today in a different way than we're raising
them. Do you think there's too much from the parenting where we let the schools raise our kids? We want to get them as early as possible so we don't have to pay for daycare, so if we can do pre-kindergarten, pre-kindergarten, and send them off?
Absolutely.
Is that the problem, Coach?
Absolutely. Parents are failing. They're failing. I mean, I'm generalizing now, and I want to apologize because there's a lot of great parents out there. Your parents, Gib and Shirley, were great parents. You turned out okay. You and Diane are great parents. But, you know, we've talked about it. You spend a lot of time talking to your kids, going fishing with your kids.
Yeah.
You know, the parents today try to be their friends. Parents try to be friends instead of being parents, instead of setting up guidelines. This is how we're going to do things. This is how you greet people. You know, here's the problem. Parents themselves don't even know how to provide their own leadership to themselves.
Yeah.
You got me started. You got me wound up.
Yeah, we'll wait for that till the 5:30 section.
Can you do that?
Oh, yeah, I'm writing it down now.
Yeah. So,
line coach up.
We're waiting for Pat Williams to call in. He's back in Orlando, Florida.
And he's going to talk to us about leadership, right, Coach?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that on the drive over to the studio today, and we've mentioned it before. Man, are we
leaderless.
In desperate need of leadership.
I asked
at all levels.
Absolutely. I asked him on our pre-interview, who did you think our great leaders were? And I'm reading this book, Killing Lincoln.
Yeah.
Wow.
Last great leader?
Oh.
Who was the last great leader?
In my mind, honestly, I like Reagan. That's self-serving, as a disclaimer. I worked on his campaign.
It doesn't have to be a president necessarily. Just think of someone in your life, someone in society.
Wooden. John Wooden.
There you go.
Incredible leader.
Yeah.
The guy that ran Chrysler.
Yeah.
Lee Iacocca. But right. You go back to George Washington. Read books about him. Abraham Lincoln.
Steve
I'm reading
Jones.
This book, Killing Lincoln, and he talks about Lincoln, and he talks about Here's a word that you don't hear. I know you grew up with this word, sturdy.
Yeah, right.
Sturdy. Hardy. We don't hear these words. And I can say bitching on the air, but remember, there's a lot of words that have left our vocabulary.
Right, right.
But we need to be sturdier.
But don't you think leadership, too, and Pat Williams is on the line, so we'll get to him in just a bit, but don't you think leadership, too, comes from the floor up rather than just the top down? Great organizations have leadership throughout. Somebody once said that the greatest force on earth is an army of deer led by a lion, and that's almost right because the greatest, the unstoppable force would be a lion led by lions.
I don't know. You get me here, baby.
Yeah, I mean, that's leadership.
All right, let me. That is leadership. Let me introduce our guest. Let me introduce my partner. First of all, he's the professional voice of the Atascadero Antelope Valley Greyhounds, something like some dogs in there.
Yeah, the avocados.
And the best voice. I'm telling you, Pat Williams, if you're listening to his, this guy's name is Roger Bland, you may want to dump the guy that's doing your radio on the Orlando Magic.
There you go.
Roger Bland back there. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, I'm excited about this guy. He's one of the owners of the Orlando Magic, 44 years in the NBA, 7 years in professional baseball. I watched every single one of his videos today on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and type in Pat Williams, I'm telling you, he'll make the hair stand up on your arms like he did mine. Let me welcome you to Southern California. His book is called Leadership Excellence. We're going to get right to it. In your honor, Pat, I'm doing the show commercial-free. How are you, sir?
Nice to talk to you, Coach.
Nice to talk to you. And let's get right to it. I asked you about leadership. We're lacking it in this country. Some of the great leaders of all time, what did they have that you think leaders are missing today?
They had vision. They were able to communicate their vision. They had people skills. They had excellent character. They had competence. In other words, they were good at what they did. The next thing they had is boldness. They were not afraid to make decisions. And then the final piece that I think they all had was a serving heart. They understood they were not in a position of authority to dominate people, to crush them, to browbeat them, but to serve. And I think when leaders understand that those seven principles are still very much in force today. And all seven have to be there, by the way. If one is missing, that's a gaping hole. And so in this book, Coach, you know, we write about the seven sides of leadership that I just shared with you. And maybe the best way I can just kind of leave it at this moment is a poem that Sven Nader wrote, the former UCLA backup center to Bill Walton, longtime NBA player, now works for Costco and is the poet laureate of America. Sven Nader put this together for me. Seven things one must do to be a leader, right and true. Have vision that is strong and clear. Communicate so they can hear. Have people skills based in love. And character that's far above. The competence to solve and teach. And boldness that has fearless reach. A serving heart that stands close by to help, assist, and edify. And I think when those seven principles really hit home with leaders, you know, we're going to see a huge difference in our country.
Talking to Pat Williams, ladies and gentlemen, and if you want to check him out, I think the 30 minutes that you gave a lecture at UCF in Orlando, I'm telling you what, that's about as good a motivational speech I have heard in a long, long time. Ladies and gentlemen, he was talking to young college students about leadership, and you've got him tonight with us on the show. We call The Business of Life. Roger Bland and I are doing this commercial-free to honor this true American leader. His name is Pat Williams, one of the owners of the Orlando Magic. In the NBA. Let's get into these seven things because number one, vision is anybody. I don't care if you're a parent, if you're driving home and you just had a tough day at work, got to go back to work tomorrow. Vision is rarely talked about, but it's one of the most important things. That if you don't have a vision, if you don't know where you're going, if you can't communicate that, just like you said, you've got no chance to get a raise. You got no chance to advance your life. You've got no chance to win a championship. Right or wrong on that, Pat?
Well, great leaders, and I think that, all the leadership experts, you know, absolutely agree on this, that it all starts with vision. Bill Walsh, the football coach, said vision is just a highfalutin word for goals. But without goals, you know, leaders are going to wander and drift, and people are not going to be willing to follow them if they don't think that that leader knows where he or she is going. Vision comes from the word envision, and I'm convinced great leaders have the ability to see before others, and they see farther than others, and they see in a wider scope than others. They see in technicolor while the rest of us see in black and white. And visionary leaders see the future before it gets here. Keep in mind, leadership is always about the future. Visionary leaders are thinking 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. I was introduced to Coach to the vision thing really when I came to Orlando 26 years ago. And we had a goal, a mission of trying to create an NBA basketball team from scratch. And Orlando in 1986 was really not much to look at. But we kept saying to David Stern and the league and the other owners, look at Orlando 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20, 25 years from now. Please imagine or try and envision what Orlando is going to be like. And if you put a team here now, you're going to be rewarded down the road. Well, the Orlando of today, Coach, is an amazing city.
Well, it is. I've been there many, many times. I love going to Orlando. You have so many cute stories. There's a phrase here, and you and I are both John Wooden disciples in so many ways. I want to talk about John Wooden. You wrote a book about him. Roger Bland and the coach. I want you to hear his voice, because whatever you got now, you're going to get rid of and move Roger and his family to.
Well, you know who's got a good voice is Pat Williams.
Yeah, he does.
Man.
Listen to his YouTubes. All right, so I love what you said on one of your YouTube speeches. You said, look, walk in the clubhouse the right way. I wrote that down. I will treasure that, what you said, because explain to us what you mean. Walk in the clubhouse the right way.
Well, that came from Tommy Lasorda, who, of course, everybody in Southern California, you know, feels strongly about. Tommy's an old friend. I was talking about optimism in leadership. When Tommy retired after 20 years as the Dodger manager, I called him and congratulated him on a great managing career, which turned out to be a Hall of Fame career. And I said, Tommy, what was the most important thing you did every day as the Dodgers manager? And I thought he would say, you know, my pitching rotation or how I work my bullpen or, you know, making out the lineup properly and left and right-hand hitters. And, you know, I thought that's what he would say. But Tommy didn't say that. He said the most important thing I did every day was walk into the clubhouse the right way. He said it didn't matter whether the Dodgers had won 8 in a row or lost 8 in a row. He said my players had to see me walk in as a positive, upbeat, optimistic manager. They said in the middle of an 8-game losing streak, if they saw my chin down at my belt buckle, he said that would have spread across that clubhouse like wildfire and destroyed our team. So that was a great lesson that Tommy shared with me over the phone, the importance of optimism, particularly in the face of trouble. I just believe that Ronald Reagan said optimism is a choice and one of the most powerful ones you can make. Colin Powell put it a little bit differently. He said perpetual optimism is a force multiplier. That's a military term. But it means it grows, it expands through an organization. So every day as leaders, we get to make a choice. I'm going to be an optimistic leader today or a pessimistic leader. And I would simply argue that optimism trumps pessimism every time.
Well, all of us tomorrow going to work and walk into work the right way. I just love that. It's something that we can all use. It's practical. It's easy to understand. And that's how you can start to change your life and create that leadership that we all desperately need. Talk about hope for a second. We're talking to Pat Williams, the author of his brand new book, Leadership Excellence. You can buy it anywhere. Google Pat Williams. Google him on YouTube and watch his videos. You can put your kids in front of YouTube on Pat Williams videos, and they're gonna learn something. I promise you that. Leadership and hope where does hope come in?
Well, I think as leaders, we definitely have to communicate hope, Coach. I understand that we can go 40 days without food. We can go 8 days without water. We can go 4 minutes without air, but only 2 seconds without hope. I just believe that without hope, you know, organizations die. Napoleon years ago said, a leader is a dealer in hope. So I would just simply challenge leaders that, listen, you're in the hope, uplifting, the offering of hope as part of your mission. And without hope, people cannot survive. They cannot survive. Emily Dickinson, the poet, put it this way. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. So being a dispenser of hope in the leadership role, Coach, you can't ever put a price tag on how important it is.
Listening to Pat Williams, ladies and gentlemen, one of the owners of the Orlando Magic, NBA. We're not going to talk about basketball tonight. We're going to talk about leadership, talk about his book, Leadership Excellence, because this is the one thing that we're all desperate for. Each one of you can change this world tomorrow, tonight, if you will take to heart some of these things and become a leader in your family, your community, your work. It's not very difficult if you apply some of these things. Right or wrong, Roger?
I think that's right. And Pat, I have a question for you. You're a great leader. When did you realize it, looking inward, that you were a great leader or are a great leader?
That's a great question. It happens in everybody's life, I think, in a different way. But as I look back now, my mom and dad, and we grew up in Wilmington, Delaware, they were very active in many, many different areas of life in Delaware. Politics, mental retardation, mental health, issues of integration in the 40s and 50s. And our dining room table just became a meeting place, a planning pad. And my mom and dad were leaders. And they didn't. I don't remember ever hearing the word leadership, but I saw it modeled every day in their lives. They were constantly taking positions of leadership in different areas in the state of Delaware. I was an athlete growing up. I was the catcher on the baseball team. I was a quarterback, point guard. So I was playing the leadership positions, but I don't remember ever hearing the word leadership. There were no books on the topic. It was not something that one talked about, but you know, I can remember beginning to gravitate to it. Then I went to Wake Forest to go to college, and I think the turning point there was the November of my junior year. And in those days, freshmen were not eligible for the varsity. So there was a freshman varsity basketball game every year to start the season. And about a week, 6 days before this game, Jerry Steele, a big 6'8", 240-pound player on the basketball team, came up to me and said, "Williams, nothing's happened with this game." He said, "You are in charge." And that was all he said, and I didn't argue with him. I took it on, and you know, that was a life changing experience, putting people together and planning that night and promoting tickets and halftime show lined up and the national anthem and on we putting all those pieces together, and the night was a success. It was a success, and it was the most gratifying feeling. And you know what? As I look back, for 50 years, that's what I've been doing for a living.
Wow.
Entertaining people and trying to put winning teams in baseball and basketball. For 50 years, that's what I've done. And it all started when Jerry Steele said, "You are in charge." And in effect, he was saying, "Take leadership of this." And I did, and it was the most gratifying feeling. So that's why I remind people all the time, leadership is like a three-legged stool. The first leg is seeing yourself as a leader. The second leg is preparing yourself to lead. And the third leg is when that opportunity comes, you step up and do it.
Yeah.
And by the way, you don't need a Jerry Steele to tap you on the chest and say, "You're in charge here." You don't need an appointment. You don't need to be assigned. You know, when you see areas where leadership is needed, you step up and lead. and make the difference. Do not wait for an invitation.
Talking to Pat Williams on the show we call The Business Life on KVTA, KKZZ. Roger Bland and I are here together talking about something that I talk about in my workshops, leadership. His book, Pat Williams' book, is called Leadership Excellence, and he's written a number of books. Let me just shotgun some questions, but I want to start off with something that I talk about. Roger, you and I have talked about it before many times, and that is when Roger and I and you and Pat were young, one of our dreams was to buy a house. That was our first big dream, is to buy a house. Ask an 18-year-old kid today what his dream is to get an iPad. I think we've lost the ability to dream and as you said earlier, to have visions of a future. Talk about dreams a little bit, will you, Pat Williams, please?
Well, I'm a believer in dreams, and I don't think anything happens until you have a dream in your life. And so I encourage people all the time to dream big, dream in depth, dream in technicolor. Everything starts with a dream. It's different in all of our lives. Let me tell you briefly about when the dream exploded in my life. I was 7 years old. It was June 15th, 1947. And my dad said, get in the car. We're going to Philadelphia. We lived in Wilmington, Delaware. So off we went on that Sunday morning. And that afternoon, my dad took my sister and I to Shibe Park in Philadelphia, 21st and Lehigh Avenue. It was a Sunday afternoon doubleheader. The Cleveland Indians were in town to play Connie Mack's Philadelphia A's. And as we walked in that ballpark, I was absolutely captured by the sights and the sound and the smell of baseball. And the color. Everything was green. Green grass, green seats, green walls. And we stayed that whole day. I woke up the next morning just captured by a dream. I wanted to be a ball player. And at the age of 7, I knew exactly what I wanted to do with my life. So I spent my high school days and through college and then 2 years as a minor league catcher in the Philly system, you know, just pursuing my dream with everything I had. And when my playing days ended, it transferred over into the front office, and here I am 50 years later. And really, from that day in 1947, you know, that was 65 years ago this June, and that dream has never left me. So I encourage people to really, really pursue your dreams, and it makes all the difference in the world.
His name is Pat Williams. His book, Leadership Excellence, on the show we call The Business Life here on KKZZ, KVTA. Roger Bland and I are honored to have this gentleman on.
Damn, it's good stuff.
One of the owners of the NBA Orlando Magic. And it's interesting when you go to your YouTubes and watch you speak to college kids and in groups and stuff, how you talk about your seven. I want to get back to the first seven because I'm not sure we covered all seven.
No, we just got the first two, Coach. We still got people, skills, character, competence, boldness, serving heart. There's a bunch of them. Pat, if I could interject for just a minute, is there such a thing as a bad leader?
Oh, I think so.
Adolf Hitler.
Well, I think when you look at Hitler and Stalin and
Mussolini
and Castro to some degree, they were outstanding leaders.
Right.
I mean, they were very charismatic leaders. Let's look at Hitler, for example. He had a vision, a big vision,
right?
You know, to conquer the world for Nazi Germany. Communicating the vision, listen, I've read enough about his speeches and people who were there, and his ability to communicate, it was staggering. People skills, he could be very charming,
right?
Very charming.
Right.
Character, I'd have to say, probably a zero.
Yeah, not much there.
Competence, he was good at what he did up to a point. Now, towards the end of the war, he made just horrible decisions. And,
Yeah. You
know, he was paranoid, and so his competence began to fade. Boldness, oh, yeah, oh, my, oh, boy. Serving heart, zero,
Yeah. You
know, zero. too many holes there for him.
So there's a... people with great leadership skills have the power, but they need to use that power in a good way.
Oh, absolutely. absolutely. And when they use it the wrong way, you know, we just have devastation in the world.
Right.
You know, we have millions of people killed and slaughtered, and we've got people starving. And, you know, when despots take over and begin to make these selfish decisions, and any sense of humility goes out the window.
Yeah.
That's why in my presentation, in my book, in my speeches, you know, I keep stressing all seven sides have to be here.
Yeah.
In other words, you could have six of them, but let's say the boldness is just not there. Well, your organization is going to stagnate. Or let's say that you've got everything going, but your communication skills are just not good. That organization's going to have a tough time.
Right.
You know, if that lead, I've learned this, leadership generally gravitates to the man or woman who can talk. That's generally who we elect to office. That's generally right. Who gets the CEO job or the high school principal.
You're so kind, talker BS. But keep going. Talking to Pat Williams.
Yeah, you've got to be able to speak well and speak authoritatively and speak in a way. Listen, without Hitler's verbal skills, yeah, that whole thing never would have started.
Sure.
Without Castro's verbal skills, you know, communist Cuba never would have been launched. And by the same token, you know, we go back through Lincoln and Roosevelt and Churchill and Reagan and John F. Kennedy. You know, we still hear their voices today.
Right.
Because they were, you know.
And this
the great
is not a political show, but how about the current guy?
But yeah, I was going to say, that it's not enough. Look, good communicators.
Well, Mr. Obama was elected in many ways because of his incredible verbal skills.
Absolutely.
You know, out on the campaign trail. We have not heard much of that in the White House.
Right.
But that campaign, boy, in 08, he electrified this country with his incredible ability to communicate. Martin Luther King, maybe the greatest communicator publicly, you know, we've ever seen in this country.
Yeah.
I was there that day in August of 1963, the March on Washington. I was there with my mother and my oldest sister, and I was not quite clear on about all that was going on, but I look back now, oh my. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Powerful, powerful, powerful.
We're talking to Pat Williams, a tremendous author. Leadership Excellence is the book. You can buy it anywhere. He's one of the owners of the Orlando Magic. I promise you I wasn't going to ask you a question about basketball. I'm not. But let me ask you, you're around young, wealthy men, young men. What do you take away when, and I know you know each one of them, and you sit down, hopefully you get one-on-one, hopefully your great leadership skills rub off on some of these kids. But what are you learning from these young kids that you can share with our audience here in Southern California on KKZZ?
Well, I know there are critics of all this, but I find that 95% of the players in the NBA are good people, good guys. They want to do the right thing. They want to make a difference in their community. They want to be good teammates.
Mm-hmm.
They want to live to their full potential. Now, you're not going to read that in the newspaper. You know, generally we get the reports on the guys who have gone the wrong direction. But by and large, I find them to be good guys, good people, guys that you would enjoy spending time with. You'd enjoy having them as neighbors. And that's my read on it after 44 years in this profession. And they want to be coached, by the way. They want to be taught. They want a coach who can maximize their performance so that they can play to their full potential. They are not reluctant. They are not opposed. You know, they want coaching. They want instruction. That's what I've noticed about all of them, really.
Pat, you got to come back to Southern California. We'll continue the conversation about.
I need the book, Coach. I need the book.
Leadership,
what's the name and where do I get it?
It's called Leadership Excellence. It's in bookstores now in the business section under leadership.
Now I got one last question.
Amazon.com, also a good
Amazon. Okay,
book.
Very good. Thanks.
Yeah,
Pat.
You can buy. You know, you can buy it at Amazon. I've had Denny McClain on many times. Tom Lasorda on. I've had Fran Tarkington on. Quite an interview. I've had Bart Starr, maybe one of the best interviews I've ever done, Ernie Banks and on, but I'll tell you what, Pat, I'd love to have you back. You have so much to contribute to society. Last question, in your quiet moment, when you're sitting there drinking that fine scotch in your beautiful den, incidentally, Roger,
yeah,
we're running out of time, but in his YouTubes, if you go to Pat Williams' YouTube,
yeah, I'm on one
he
now.
Talks about reading, and we're running out of time. Of course, this is a big subject for me. I don't watch TV. I read, just like Pat does. He's got 650 books just on leadership, just on leadership.
Yeah.
So when he comes back, we'll talk about some of the tools, some of the skill sets that can help you get to leadership. But here's the last question. In your quiet time, what did you take away from writing your book, Leadership Excellence?
I took away that everybody's a leader. People who would object and say, this doesn't apply to me, I would say to them, are you a husband? You're a leader. Are you a parent? Yes, you're a leader. Are you a wife? Yeah, you're a leader. Grandparents? Oh, absolutely, you're leaders. Involved with youth sports or a Sunday school class at your church? Involved in heading up a department with your work? Listen, coach, if you do nothing but lead yourself, you're a leader. So I argue that everybody's a leader, and that's why this book is important. To really be a good leader, you've got to have nailed down this whole vision thing, communication, people skills, character, competence, boldness, and above all, a serving heart.
All right, well, bless you.
Where you're there to serve other people.
Bless you. We need you. You need to be on radio. I left a message. Call me tomorrow. You need to be on 400 radio stations. You have this incredible voice, this incredible way of talking and motivating. You've got a lifetime of leadership. America needs to hear Pat Williams' voice. Call me tomorrow. I'll call you. We're going to go to ABC News. Yes, he'll be back. I'll have him back. I'll twist his arm. He'll be back here in Southern California. Get his book. This is one maybe a great Father's Day gift, Leadership Excellence. ABC News coming up. Roger Bland and the coach and I will be back with America. I'm not kidding when I say this. He's America's number one pharmacist. His new book, The Essential Guide to Prescription Drugs, 12 Top Meds for 2012. We're going to have him for a whole half an hour. We'll be right back on the show we call The Business Life on KKZZ.
Listening to AM 1400, KKZZ, Santa Paula, Ventura, Oxnard.
The following is a paid program. Gold Coast Broadcasting is not responsible for its content.
Everyone's running to Bunnin.
Hey, Ventura County, who do you think?